really didn't have any relationship. And at the time, I had fully told myself, I don't have a father and I'm okay with that. I don't want one, don't need one. But when I read that letter, it turned something in me. And I decided, it took me 2 days or so to kind of ruminate on all of it. And I decided that once I got my motorcycle, when I got back to Arizona, I was going to take a 2 to 3 week vacation, and I was going to go there and visit you.
Welcome to There Is Hope. Any advice or counsel given is provided for informational purposes only. Your host for There Is Hope, Richard Dover.
Well, welcome to There Is Hope Radio. This is your radio host, Richard Dover, and with my son, Joshua. We're going to try to do an interview that we have probably tried 4 times to do. Either we've gotten interruptions or Josh's memory goes crazy on him. What we want to talk about is when you're in a spot in life where you've made a lot of bad choices, you've had some consequences of those choices, and I'm saying you, I'm talking about you as the one listening, not just Joshua, all of us. You're just at a place where things are kind of going sour. You know, part of that is your decisions. It just seems part of life is hitting you bad and you want to give up. And then you have something in you that says to fight and to do what you need to do, make changes that you need to make changes, whether that's changing lifestyle habits, whether that's changing environment, changing friends, whatever it may be. You just know change needs to take place. And a lot of reasons why people don't make changes in their life is because it's pain to make changes. There is challenges to make changes. And so we rather just stick at what we're doing because we don't want to go through the pain of change. And yet there needs to be a place where you make the choice to go through the pain of change. So Joshua kind of made that decision. As he did that, things ultimately turned sour in a lot of different ways. Based upon what you told me, was the fact that he got to a place where he was, and correct me, Josh, if I got it wrong, but kind of in the party mode, kind of in it to go to alcohol to kind of escape some things in life, hanging around a crowd that maybe isn't the best crowd to hang around with, kind of escaping from life, the issues of life, challenges of life, maybe choice of life, kind of running from life, wanting to hide from life. Is that kind of accurate there?
Yeah.
And so one of the big decisions you make, you're a Pacific Northwest guy, grew up in Alaska, lived in Washington, lived in Oregon, loved the Pacific Northwest. And then you made the decision to go to Arizona where your sister lived,
Yeah. Which
that was a pretty big change, change of environment, in the midst of culture, change of environment in which of nature, all of that change with friends, nobody there you knew.
Yeah, it was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back was when in December
December of
2019 I wound up in the hospital with serious complications from undiagnosed diabetes as well as complications from pneumonia that I'd had since May of 2019, and so my health was declining so bad. And
and you put on a lot of weight through the last couple of years.
Yep, I have. That's depressive eating. Getting out of the military was very hard on me because I was used to always being 24/7 around my friends. And, you know, any kind of thing that came against you, you know, any kind of challenge, I wasn't doing it alone. My friends were with me, helping me, and we were all helping each other. And then suddenly I went from that to I'm completely on my own. I don't know any of my friends. All my friends I knew prior to joining the military were no longer in the city I was in. And so
the PTSD is kicking in.
PTSD was an enormous problem. I couldn't even drive over trash originally on the road because I was fearful of it being an IED placed somewhere in there.
And we've done 2 shows on just the PTSD. So you have all of that going on, and then...
And then the health crash. I mean, I literally, my body just started shutting down. My liver, my kidneys, everything was just plummeting. And, excuse me.
Yeah, get some water. Those who haven't listened to previous interviews, a lot of times Josh's throat is rough and stuff just because of some of what he's going through.
So essentially the catalyst was when I ended up hospitalized and finding out that I had diabetes, which was, you know, unknown to me. And then finding out that I was I had diabetes for quite a long time, based on a, I think it's called A1C. They check and it tells you kind of like the past 3 months, and mine was astronomically high, dangerously high. And so the thing for me was I had spent the last almost 6 months trying to push through what was essentially like feeling like I had completely horrid body ache. You know, I felt just weak. Every day I'd go to work, I would feel like when I'd wake up in the morning, I never slept. And I'd have to go to work, push through all the agony at work, all the confusion and everything, and then try to go to sleep and wake up and feel like I didn't sleep whatsoever.
And then you had undiagnosed sleep apnea at that time too.
Yeah, undiagnosed sleep apnea. I mean, severe sleep apnea. And then what happened essentially was after I got discharged from the hospital, and I was having to take insulin injections. I was living with my grandfather, helping to be a caregiver for him, and I
and that was turning sour.
It was turning sour. Unfortunately, my grandfather has dementia, and it started getting bad where he was not the nicest individual, and it's a disease essentially. I mean, his brain is being destroyed, and so I was unable to handle the emotional side of things where I just felt like I was getting bashed and beaten against the rocks. And I was fighting to recover from my physical problems. And that's when I told myself, I said, I've got to stop. I've got to get out of this rut. And ended up deciding that what I was doing with my friends, you know, drinking a lot of alcohol kind of thing, that's not helping me in any way, shape, or form. It's actually making me worse. And I thought,
physically and psychologically,
all the above. And so I made the decision that I needed to get away from where I was. I've been here, been there for years.
Now this throws something else in there that I don't think you probably thought of it at the time. But the other thing was, is that by that time we probably had not talked for about 4 years someplace. I think that's right around, or 3.5 years, something like that. So there's no relationship with me and you, and also your stepmom, right? There was a point in time for a couple years, I think.
It was essentially, I used to speak with her.
I mean, you're great friends.
Every couple of weeks or something like that. I mean, I stayed in contact with her, and it got to the point where it was, you know, I'd get a call like, just seeing if you're alive, and because I wouldn't call and say anything. And
so that was very unusual too.
Yeah.
Which when I found that out, you know, recently, I was shocked by that. So you got all that. So you got relationship issues, you got mental issues, emotional issues, psychological issues, physical issues. You just throw it all in there.
Yeah.
And so that's all caving in. A person could be at a place to take their life with that. A person could be at a place to just run.
I was on the edge, debating on doing,
self-harm.
Self-harm, that happened probably 7, 8, maybe 10 times before I made the decision. I have to do something. Because I just couldn't take it anymore, and honestly I didn't want to be here. I was tired of fighting to
everything,
just, you know, get through life. It just felt like impossible. I mean, and it's funny because in the scheme of things, if I look at it now, that was nothing.
Isn't that crazy?
Yep.
I want people to hear this because. because, you know, I've shared many times my own story in the past through our different radio shows, TV shows, sermons, and all that stuff, my own personal story. But it's the same thing of being at a place of darkness. This was years ago now, but being in darkness and feeling like there's no hope whatsoever. And now I can say, I don't know how many decades it's been. And I'm not saying this about you. I'm not saying this about me, Josh. But I feel like an idiot when I look back on it, because the stuff that I have gone through in the last 8 years, 10 years, through different things, is 10,000 times worse than that stuff I was going through that I didn't think I'd make it. And so I want to share that. I don't think mine and Josh's story is the only ones. I think there's others out there that say where they've been in a place of being suicidal, a place of darkness, of hopelessness, is they can look back and say, I don't know what all was going with me at that time. And we do. You just described it. It would make sense why you're going through all that, right? I could explain all my story and it makes sense. But still, once you get through all that and you get through into life, it doesn't make sense, because there's things that are worse. And yet you make it.
I do want to say, I want to make sure everyone understands that no way, shape, or form are we saying that just get over it, because it's not as bad as you think it is. It's in the moment.
When it is as bad as you think it is.
It is bad. And there is no one judge and say that, oh, God, I've been through worse than that. That's not the reality. The reality is what you're going through right now, if you're really struggling, it is as bad as you feel it is. I understand that completely. It's just that I have gone through worse since then, but it does not mean that what I was going through at that time wasn't enough to tip me over the edge.
And I would say the difference is a lot of it is coping skills.
Very much so.
It's that you and I have coping skills now that we didn't have then. And it can be a support system now we didn't have then. It can be all kinds of things. And in reality, there was a support system, but I didn't want it, because either I didn't trust it or I had no hope in it. So yeah, we want to make it sure it's very clear that what we're going through at the time was real. It wasn't fake, it was real. And whatever you're going through, it is what you're going through. I just want to say there's hope that you can get out of that and get to a place that you look back and you're able to say the same thing, that I can't believe that was an issue compared to now. And yet, both of us can point out all the things that were issues, right? Okay, so then you go to Arizona and you're gonna make a giant change and the world is gonna change and it's gonna be the most positive thing there is. And I don't know if you necessarily felt that. I think maybe you just felt, well, at least I'll change my environment. But that's the hope,
yeah,
is that it's gonna be different and we're going to live on the high side of life.
Yeah, and in all honesty, if I'm being completely honest with myself, it was not just I'm going to restart and refresh. It was really partially running away from the problems and everything.
So not as much a hope that maybe a change, but just to get away?
Honestly, to start, it was... I gotta get away. I can't be here
or I won't live.
Yeah, I that's literally what it was, is if I don't leave, I'm not gonna be here in the next couple of weeks, kind of thing.
Right.
And once I got to Arizona, that's when I was like, okay, you know, I've got a fresh slate. You know, I'm gonna make this good. I'm excited. And unfortunately, when I had that move, was right when COVID started.
Yeah, and I want to hit that, but I want to say something else too. One thing we didn't talk about, you were pretty much spiritually dead too, weren't you?
Beyond. I mean, I honestly felt at that point there can't be a God, because how can there be a God that would let me go through what I'm going through? And in my mind, it was just like, if there is a God, he's a little bratty kid that's, you know, trying to kill ants with a magnifying glass or something, you know, somebody that's just
and
toying with
you. And you're the ant.
And I'm the ant, yeah.
Okay, so then we go back. So you go, and you're going to make a change. You get in Arizona, and boom, COVID.
Yeah, COVID happened, and I was excited to, you know, when I got to Arizona, I was just excited. You know, I'm like, all right, I got a fresh slate. I got a clean slate. You know, I'm going to get myself a job and I'm going to start fresh. And
you're a hard worker.
Very, very much. And unfortunately, because of COVID, I was not able to get a job anywhere. Part of the problem was it was hard to get my license to Arizona, and I couldn't get certain jobs because I had to have an Arizona driver's license. Well, as everyone knows, with COVID, it's very hard to do anything with the DMV because of the fact that you can't just walk in anymore. There's a long waiting list and you have to have appointments and all that kind of stuff. So that kept me from certain jobs. And then really the only jobs that were available is if you were able to find a job where you're bagging groceries.
We have to pause here. We have a nurse coming in.
Hello.
Okay, we're gonna try to get through this interview. We got interrupted as a nurse came in to do some things at the hospital here. You may not know that because we're doing previous interviews. It was me in Arkansas and Joshua that was in Oregon, and now I'm in Oregon in the hospital with them. I actually was here before he went in the hospital for his hip surgery. What is trust that you heard previous interviews? If not, go to thereshoperadio.org. That's thereshoperadio.org. And if you do a Joshua Adam Dover, look at the link, you'll hear all the interviews there. So Joshua, you're in Arizona, and you try to get a job, you got COVID, can't get a license, all that stuff. You're trying to change your life. So kind of what happens?
Essentially, you know, my last straw was there was a hiring sign in a Harley-Davidson shop. And I used to be a motorcycle mechanic as well as a car mechanic. And I thought, well, you know, this is great because I was trying to get my sister into riding. And unfortunately, I went in and they said, yeah, we got that in the window, but we're not hiring because of COVID. We don't know when we're going to hire. And that's something that I kept getting over and over and over. And so I realized, you know what, I'm not going to be able to find a job. And all I have as income is my Marine Corps disability. And so I was really scared to death. Like, what am I going to do now? And so I reached out to the VA and to Voc Rehab, and I was actually accepted into Voc Rehab. But before that, I told myself, I can't work. There's nowhere hiring. So I actually applied to the University of Arizona and then spoke with Voc Rehab, and I got accepted at the University of Arizona and told Voc Rehab, hey, I just got accepted. Is there anything you guys can do to help me to be able to go to school? And thankfully, they have been helping me since. So that was kind of like the start of being in Arizona.
Okay. And then you make a decision. It's I don't know how much longer, whatever, you get started school. You was in school, and then you make a decision to go to Oregon. I guess would say kind of like a last time, or
it was really what it was is two things. One, I really wanted to get my motorcycle because I had gotten my sister into riding. I'd kind of taught her and then had her take the motorcycle class in Arizona, and she got the endorsement on her license. And so I was kind of taking her out I would ride her motorcycle out to safer, easy areas, and then I would drive the car while she rode her motorcycle. And I really wanted to get my motorcycle so that we could ride together and go on trips and stuff together with the motorcycles. And so that was the big thing that I wanted to get back to Oregon for. And then also our family in Oregon does summer camping trips. They do usually 1 to 2 a year. And so that was something that I kind of wanted to be there for. And so we both headed up to Oregon to spend a little bit of time with the family. And it, originally, because of COVID, it looked like we were just going to be there to give the bike for a week, be up there for a week, get my motorcycle and ride back. And then family kind of decided that they really actually wanted us to stay for a lot longer. And so we were there for nearly a month before my unfortunate accident.
Okay. And so you're doing that. Yeah, that is a goal. So again, things turn sour, but things get positive. Things turn sour, things get positive. Yeah. And so then you have another choice, and that's that you're going to get in contact with me. I don't know, was Carla in the picture at that time? Your
she
stepmom?
Had no clue about that. I don't think anybody, honestly. What it was is, it was, I would say, probably 2 weeks, 3 weeks before I left.
Before you left?
Before I left Arizona.
Okay.
You had posted something on Facebook, and I wasn't a Facebook friend of yours years ago. I don't know, one of us got mad at the other, probably me.
Okay, hold on, we've got an interruption.
So I saw you had posted on Facebook something pertaining to your relationship with your son, or the lack thereof, or something, and I don't really remember the contents of what was said, but essentially what happened
and
is,
I tried to get a letter to you and a couple other things to reach out to you.
And so I basically saw a post on Facebook that you had posted reaching out to your friends, something about me and your and I's relationship or something. I'm not totally sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
But you'd also sent a message to me, Facebook Messenger, I think it was a year before that, and I'd never read it. And so when I saw a comment from a friend of mine that's also a friend of yours on Facebook, and it showed in their newsfeed that they had replied to something, and I went to look, and it was something you had said about our relationship, and that prompted me to go read the letter that you had written to me, I think almost a year before. And after reading that, I felt a kind of sorrow that we really didn't have any relationship. And I, at the time, I had fully told myself, I don't have a father, and I'm okay with that. I don't want one, don't need one. And but when I read that letter, it turned something in me, and I decided, it took me 2 days or so to kind of ruminate on all of it, and I decided that once I got my motorcycle, when I got back to Arizona, I was going to take a 2 to 3 week vacation, as I do University of Arizona online, and I was going to, I actually kind of Facebook stalked in the sense that I found out where your address, where you lived. The internet is pretty easy.
Everything in me is public, so you pull my name up and you'll find everything.
It was very easy, and found your house, did the Google Earth, looking over to see, you know, is there an image in there of my dad standing there, you know, when the Google car went by or whatever. And so I decided I was going to go there and visit you, and then either visit you first or second. I was going to, I don't know if either of you knew about the other, but my stepmom was there.
Your stepmom knew that I was moving there, because at the time, I bought the house a year before I moved there, but she had moved before me, and she had known that we had, because again, everything's public about me.
Yeah. And so I was going to visit her either first or second, because I hadn't seen her in years. And so that was the plan, the desire. And then went to Oregon to get my motorcycle, spent time with the family longer than we thought we were going to be there. And then unfortunately the accident happened, and I honestly don't have a clue how we reconnected since the accident. I know all I, like when I think in my head, when I try to pinpoint it, all I remember is talking to you almost every day on the phone, relying on kind of like emotionally relying on you to help in one fashion, because the pain, the agony of everything I was going through, the like physical pain and agony was so unbearable. I wanted my dad. I wanted my dad to take everything away, take the pain away.
Okay, so if we kind of wrap this up, we look at it that your life is a mess. You make a decision to turn your life around. You take steps to literally turn your life around. You have good intentions to do other things. And then boom, a motorcycle crash that turns everything into the bigger mess than you ever thought the mess was before. absolute, probably hopelessness in the midst of that, as you come to aware of what's happened to you in the motorcycle crash and all that. And the next show we're going to do is, why'd you have hope?
All right, this is Rich jumping in, and as you can tell, we had an interruption. That we were in the hospital right after Josh's hip surgery, and then the alarm started going off because as he's moving around and the bed thing and some other stuff. So we didn't get to actually officially close up the interview, but as you could tell, we were getting ready to close it. So my question to Josh before we got interrupted with all the beeping was, after all that's gone on, you get hope, and then there is the motorcycle crash, and it looks like it's all going backwards. And so in our next interview, we're going to talk about what happened after that and discuss how can you have hope when it seems like everything is crashing in on you. You make positive choices and then everything crashes on you again. So that'll be our next interview. He's talking about why Josh could still have hope. And it has been an up and down cycle for him. And then we are going to have some great interviews later on down the road.
Been listening to There Is Hope Radio. Been your radio host, Richard Dover, with my son, Joshua Dover. If you want to learn more about Josh's story, hear the ins and outs of it. It's pretty open, pretty vulnerable. You can go to thereishoperadio.org. That's thereishoperadio.org. I want to let you know there is hope, and Joshua is evidence that there can be hope. I also want to let you know if you have any questions about God, relationship with God, about Jesus Christ, any of those kind of things, if you go to thereishoperadio.org, we have links to spiritual resources. You can check that out also.
You've been listening to There Is Hope, and any advice or counsel given was provided for informational purposes only. For more information on what you've heard about today, click on thereishoperadio.org. That's thereishoperadio.org.